We are looking at the Christian life and aspects of it. What makes what we're teaching unique, if you'll think with me, this morning's lesson is on honesty. We were watching, I don't put my endorsement on everything Andy Griffith produced, but we were watching Andy Griffith's show this week. That was obviously one of the first ones because Opie was real small, okay? The whole theme of the program was honesty. If you think about it, all the old shows in America, all the old TV shows always taught some, there was a theme that went with it. Don't steal, don't lie. They dealt with, in the 50s and 60s, people were used to being taught character. Nowadays, the series and shows, they entertain, they play on your emotions, but who teaches character? You don't hear, this isn't taught anymore. Kids aren't, and you'd think as much as TV as people watch, they would think, you know, we need to help society. Society is just now taught to feel emotionally, be entertained. It's either humor or it's emotion, but there's no character teaching. And that really stuck in my mind after we got done watching the Andy Griffith show. We watched another Andy Griffin, and because you know you can binge watch. And that one had a theme. And I was just like, look at that. They were teaching character back then, and now the only place, where else, if you think with me, and I'm not trying to exaggerate, I'm not trying to demonize anything, I'm just trying to realistically, where in our society can you be taught character? You know it's not happening in the public schools. It's definitely not happening on TV. I think the only place you would hear a lesson like this is in church. So now what happens when only 1% of America is in church? As people get away from self-discipline and your ability to patrol yourself and control yourself with character. That's character, right? Your ability to make yourself do what you're supposed to do. As America gets away from that and people do literally live like animals, they do whatever they feel like doing. They don't do what's right. They just do what they feel like doing. It helps understand the state that we're in. So I'm not, if everybody said, oh, I know what honesty is, I know, but where else are you taught a lesson like this? Look at Proverbs 22:1. Proverbs 22, verse 1, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches and loving favor rather than silver and gold. Well, we know that the name that God's talking about is not however you spell or pronounce your last name. A good name, what is a name in the Bible? Your name is the sum total of what people think about when they hear your name announced. Your name represents your character. I don't hear the name Dougie or Doug anymore. It was kind of a little popular when I was growing up, but we had a kid in our trailer park, and he was a total hellcat with his mom. And I mean, awful. Treated everybody, was the bully and everything. So when I don't know how long it's been since I've met somebody named Doug. But when somebody says, my name's Doug, I get immediate flash, and I think, I hope you're not like the Doug that I knew, okay, growing up in the trailer court. Your name represents your character and what people think about when they hear your name. Do they think of somebody that completes the job, that is cordial, that is kind, that is respectful, all of that stuff? Or do they think of somebody, oh great, somebody that never finishes the job, somebody that never cleans up after themselves, somebody, that's why the Bible says a good name is rather to be chosen. Your character is more important than silver and gold. What's the difference between reputation and character? Reputation is what everybody knows you to be. Character is what God knows you to be. Reputation can be a front, but character is what God sees you all the time, including when we shut the lights out. Knowing that, the word honesty has some synonyms to it. I like the statement, character does have a lot to do with honesty. A believer should be believable. If you've believed on Christ, there's some things you can do that would taint you, but there's not a whole lot you could do more than lie that would hurt you in the eyes of others. So if you're a believer on Christ, you should be believable. You should have the reputation of being honest, especially just for no other sake than you're a Christian. And of course, we've all heard honesty is the best policy. Now, that's an old-timey. As a matter of fact, they said that on the Andy Griffith Show. So it's been around a while. Honesty has several synonyms. The word honest is found a few times in your Bible, but it's not found a whole lot. Honest and honesty. The word honest means free of deceit and untruthfulness. Okay, I think we know what honesty means. There are other words that are synonyms for honesty. For instance, the word integrity is a synonym for honesty. You say, what's integrity? Integrity, ringing true because of no impurity in it. You say, what are you talking about? When they roll steel and it cools and it, you know, it goes from, comes out of the forge, and I know forge as far as melting, but as far as when they would make a steel beam, a steel channel, an I-beam, when the thing comes out, a metallurgical engineer can go up before it's loaded and they call it, and they have a hammer that they hit it with. It's a special hammer. And they're listening for the ring. And that ring tells them if there's any impurities in that steel. And have you ever heard the statement, it rings true? That means it has integrity. The same thing true with a person. If you ring true, that means you're true to your word and you have integrity. What you say, you'll do. It's another word for honesty. It is interesting to know. Take your Bible real quick and go to Romans 12:17, okay? Recompense to no man evil for evil, and then provide things honest in the sight of all men. So as a child of God, we're commanded by God to be honest. This is something we're told by God to do. If you take Romans, go over two books and go to 2 Corinthians 8:21. Here's what's sad. By the time you get to be an adult, you can grow up a liar and learn to be honest, but it's hard. It's hard. And that's why the Bible says in Proverbs, a lie shall not go unpunished. That's why we're supposed to spank our kids for telling lies. The easiest time this is learned is when they're a child. Can an adult learn it? Yes. But this is a character issue. This is an ingraining. Look at 2 Corinthians 8:21. Providing for honest things, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. So there's two verses where God tells us to be honest in. We're told, so we know this is a command. If I'm trying to understand honesty, it means free of deceit and untruthfulness, ringing true. And then there's some examples where the word integrity is used. 1 Kings 9:4 and Job 1:1. Job was a just man and upright. Upright is another word for integrity. The word upright means a person of strict honesty and honor in behavior. So here's two words that mean the same thing, but this word, the word upright, is found the most in your Bible. Go to Psalm 37. Look at verse 37. I love this verse. I have it marked. It's meant a lot to me. But mark the perfect man and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. Someone who works at being honest has peace. They don't fight with themselves. Mark the perfect man. The word perfect in your Bible means complete and whole. It does not mean without flaw. If a baby is perfect, that means it has all digits on its fingers and stuff like that. But mark the complete man, or the whole man who works on his whole character, who's upright, or works on his behavior strictly. He disciplines himself. Note that man, mark him, because that man is a peaceful man. God said that is the way you have peace with yourself. These things are commanded by God. Now let's talk about how do you work on yourself and your honesty. Your honesty, first of all, has to begin with God being our example. In Psalm 119:140, it says, thy word is very pure. God's word is pure. In other words, because God's honest, I can trust his word. Take your Bible and go to Titus chapter 1. Now there's other verses we could turn, but God's word is pure, and because God's word is pure, verse number 2, in hope of eternal life, which God, and then this, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. So God can't lie. How do you know you're saved? Because God can't lie. I've done what God told me to do. He said, trust his son who died for me. Well, how do you know? Other religions say other things. I know they say other things, but God doesn't. God can't lie. How do you know you're saved forever? Because God said it was eternal. God can't lie. It's a beautiful verse. Our honesty begins with God. He sets the pace. I can trust his word. You ever have heard somebody say, you know, is your word good? Well, God's word's good. He is definitely honest. He's pure. And God can't lie. Proverbs 30, verse 5 and 6 says the same thing as far as God's word being pure. If you are godly, It's because you let God's traits rub off on you. As I spend time with God, God tells me I don't spend time with liars. If I choose to lie, then I distance myself from God. Praise God, I can't lose my salvation, but I do lose the peace. So God says, He is our example, and then you can't be honest with others until you're honest with God. Somebody said, ask the question, how do I quit lying? And I said, well, the first thing you have to do is quit lying to God. And until you stop lying to God, you won't stop lying to other people. You say, how do you lie to God when you keep denying what you are? You have to admit you have a problem. And if you're not honest with God, who knows your thoughts, who knows your heart, then you're definitely not honest. In other words, what are you going to tell God that He doesn't already know? How can you go to God in prayer and act like you're hiding something? Okay, a Christian that won't confess their sins to God has a lot of problems. It starts with, God, here I am again, and all of my disappointment and filth, and I've disappointed myself and my sin. That right there will take you a long way in the Christian life, but you can't hide from God. So somebody said, and I've been asked that question, how do I stop lying? Well, first person you need to stop lying to is God. Come clean with the Lord. John 2:24 says Jesus knew what was in man, and two times in the New Testament, Matthew 9:4 and Luke 17, it says Jesus, knowing their thoughts, asked them a question. He already knew what they were thinking. Anytime God asks a question in the Bible, it's not because He doesn't know the answer. It's to get us to probe ourselves. So then He knows your heart, Jeremiah 17:9. God's our example. You can't be honest with others until you're honest with God. And before you can be honest in money, most people think, oh, honesty. I was at the store and cost was $3.75. They were supposed to give me a quarter back, and instead they gave me 75 cents back because the teenager couldn't add. Well, I was honest, so I gave them back. Here, 50 cents. I was only supposed to get a quarter back, and thank you, son. Most think honesty is only dealing with money, but that's not true. Honesty includes the words that you talk about. If you're dishonest with somebody and you're willing to defame them to lift yourself up, that's dishonest. Because God says here, before, okay, as a matter of fact, go to James 3. James 3 is a very powerful chapter, a very strong chapter that helps you. My brethren, be not many masters, or don't seek to be the man in control, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. God holds the leader responsible. You know what I mean? Some people, you know, to enjoy it, they have to be the one in charge. And God says, okay, be careful, but when things go wrong, you're also the one that's blamed. So be not many masters. Don't seek the position of control. For in many things we offend, all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and also able also to bridle the whole body. So God makes a statement here. If you can control your mouth, you can control your whole body. That tells me the opposite is true also. If you don't control what you talk about, then there's also many other things in your life that you don't control. And when your tongue is out of control, your whole body is out of control. Somebody said, well, how can I get up on time when the alarm goes off? I suggest you set your alarm across the room. That will probably help. But God says, if you want more control over your body, control what you allow to come out of your mouth. Because if you can control this, you can control the whole being. Now He's going to illustrate that. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. There's the illustration again. One little piece, pinching the tongue, controls the whole body. He's now going to give another illustration. Look at verse 4. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. What steers the ship? That small rudder in the back steers the whole boat. Doesn't matter how big the ship is. Compared to the ship, the rudder is extremely small. What steers your whole body? What you choose to talk about. Your discipline with your tongue and the words you allow yourself to say or withhold show your character. That's why, yes, honesty deals with money, but before you can be honest with your money, you have to be honest with your words. Watch what you control. Watch what you speak about. In other words, there ought to be things. I like what one person in our church said. We were out soul winning, and I think what our government does that's wrong needs to be pointed out. That's not me being a gossip. If I point out something that's wrong, but I like what one person said. They said, Pastor, you preach, you'll hit politics like no pastor I've ever heard. But they said, there's also certain things you don't talk about. And they said, I appreciate that. You don't talk about, for instance, I don't talk about other church members with other church members. I know things about people that I will take to my grave. I will that nobody will know. If I was a chatty Cathy or if I didn't know how to keep things confidential, yeah, then people don't ask you for help. I have to be able to control my mouth, or it will literally destroy everybody's confidence in me. You too, as a Christian now, your honesty is important. One of the things I'd like you to tell you is your honesty is a choice. There are people who say this in our society, well, I can't help it, I lie and I couldn't help it. No, you could help it. To tell the truth is a decision. It's not, well, it's the way I was raised and blah, 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 and everybody's a victim and it's always somebody else's fault but mine. No, when you lie and you're dishonest, it's your fault. It's nobody else's fault. As a matter of fact, take your Bible and go to Psalm 18:23. Go to Psalm 18. Go to Psalm 18. When Christianity is taught and its qualities and what Jesus was trying... Christianity, when it's taught properly from Scripture, always helps the people. Every boss should want his employees to be a Christian because they're harder workers, because they're taught to. They're honest. They won't steal from their boss because they're taught not to. They work hard. Any society that is where Christianity is taught is always affected better. Is always affected better. Look at Psalm 18, verse 23. Psalm 18, verse 23. I was also upright before him, and I kept myself from mine iniquity. What a verse. I kept myself from my sin. I know the statement, if there's anything good in me, it's Jesus. And I don't have any good in me. I understand that. But there's also an issue of character, of your ability to restrain yourself. That's why being honest or to not lie is a choice. I kept myself when the pressure was on and it seemed like it would have benefited me to tell a lie. I kept myself from my iniquity. I kept myself from sinning. It's our job. We're taught that as we read the Bible. I could take you to some other places. Psalm 26, verse 11. Psalm 41, verse 12. Proverbs 20, verse 7. Go to Proverbs chapter 11. Where else do you get taught? You say, oh, everybody knows about honesty. I know, but who's teaching it? Oh, everybody knows this. I would dare say 3/4 don't. Just because you were taught it doesn't mean you can watch it on the job site. You can watch how people carry themselves. You can watch... No, this is not. It's not known. Proverbs 11:1, it says here, a false balance is abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. What does that mean? There was always a balance in the store, no cash registers back then. So when you came in, if it was, you know, this much silver, this much gold, they had weights that they would put here, and when you paid your money, you put your money over here on the scale. And then it would weigh here. Well, how could you rip people off? By having unjust weights to where they'd pay you more than what the price tag said or what you dickered on. And God says here, when you cheat somebody with an unjust balance to get more money out of them, God says it's an abomination. And the word abomination means it puts God in a shaking frenzy. He gets so angry that he shakes. That's the word abomination. That gives me the impression that I need to strive for honesty as a Christian. You say, how? I like when you sell a car, okay? Because here's where you're tempted, right? You know what's wrong with a car. The statement goes, if you apply the golden rule, do unto others, not as they've done to you, but as you would have them do to you. Then tell them everything you know about the car like you would want them to tell you about the car if you were buying it. Well, I know I've been sold a car where with a bad heater core, I've been sold, I think the third car my wife and I bought. It was used. We were in a pinch. It's a Ford Taurus. And that car was good for my prayer life and my mechanic skills. Had to replace the half shaft on, the driver's side. And I'd never done that before. And I grew. The reason I'm telling you that is I've bought cars where people weren't honest. And the day after, 2 days, I think that one was about a week, the heater core blew. And of course, they knew that. And there's ways they can cover it up until they get it off the lot. And it was that we bought it in Tennessee, and that's just what happened. The reason I'm telling you, when you're selling something, most of the time it's a car, but it can be something of value. That's normally when you're tempted to be unjust. Be honest. A just balance or weight is His delight. God delights in that, in the honesty. Look at Proverbs 11, verse 3. The integrity, there's that other synonym for honesty. The integrity of the upright, there's that other synonym for honesty, shall guide them, but the perverseness of transgressors shall destroy them. My wife and I, we got taken this week by an auto mechanic place. They didn't treat us right. So we asked around town, where do you take your vehicle? Where do you take your vehicle? And we found a place, it's called First Choice, it's down there by McKay's. Cars are lined up everywhere there. It's a man and his wife. He's running the place. He's looking for another mechanic. When we took our car there, he said, we're so swamped, we won't be able to get to your car for about 2 weeks. Normally, that's a good sign. We can't do it right now, but we'll help. That normally, when people are willing to wait for good service, that normally means those are honest people. And she was so kind, so sweet. The integrity and of the upright guides them. And people who, you say, well, they cheated me and they were dishonest, and it'll catch up with them. The perverseness, it'll eventually destroy them. The chickens don't come home to roost right now, but they do come home to roost. Honesty is one of those character traits. It pays off in the long haul. When somebody knows you won't take them, word spreads. Because no, those type people aren't a dime a dozen. Honesty allows the Word of God to take root in your heart. James 1:21 and Luke 8:15. Honesty is one of God's first requirements for a deacon in the Bible in Acts 6. Look among you men of honest report. In other words, in the community, they're known for being honest. If you take a leader in the church, if somebody is elected a deacon and they're known to be a liar, it will affect the community's whole view of that church. Oh, I know the men of that church. What's one of the first requirements for a deacon in the Bible? Honest report. They have a report or a character in the community for being honest. 1 Peter 2:12, your honesty helps others listen to your testimony. Psalm 7, verse 8, your honesty determines if you pray or not. I know it goes back to you have to be honest with God first. Psalm 7, verse 8. The Lord shall judge the people, and then this little phrase right here, judge me, O Lord, according to my righteousness and according to mine integrity that is in me. Remember the word integrity? It's a synonym for honesty. Look at how God is showing us to pray. It's wonderful when you're open with the Lord enough, you can say, God, judge me. Lord, I want to grow spiritually. Lord, where judge me, O Lord, where I'm wrong, correct me. That's rare. That's rare to pray that. But if you're the reason I came to this conclusion, your honesty determines if you pray or not. Some people, when it's time to pray, they don't shut their eyes. They'll do this, and because the last person they want to be alone with is God, who knows them through and through. And they don't pray. They don't. There has to be some element of honesty for you to walk with God, who knows you like nobody knows you. And if you aren't honest with God, then you don't walk with God. Your honesty, your character, your view of yourself in the sight of God is very important for your relationship with Him. You would be better off. And it's wonderful as a Christian when you decide, there's nothing I can hide from Him. and nobody can help me like He helps me. And if He saved me, His blood's washed away my sins, and He wants me to grow, so why don't I seek His help instead of run from Him? Your honesty determines how close you walk with God, if at all. Very important. What a prayer. Judge me, O Lord. The Lord uses honesty to guide you. It'll make the Christian joyful and happy in Psalm 32:11 and Psalm 97:11. And honesty, we've already seen, gets God's attention in Psalm 11:7 and 20 and Psalm 140:13. Honesty. It's an important topic. You just don't hear about it a whole lot. And people take it for granted.